This woman with a once glamorous life went from the runway to the Instagram feed to behind bars. She was an ex-model, gal pal of Leo DiCaprio, a wellness influencer, and a self-proclaimed witch who claims she can communicate with entities from the beyond. She's now been accused of awful crimes. Her defense? She argues that everyone was acting of their own free will. This week's episode is Kat Torres, Model, Influencer, Human Trafficker, Part 1.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
What
it's quite a
resume.
A long resume. She's
got. I don't think the third one you don't want on there.
Yeah, and we'll hear as we introduce you to this person. She was a self-proclaimed a lot of things and now self-proclaimed innocent, but you be the judge of that when we give you all these facts.
A lot of self-proclaimed internet gurus, so to speak, these days. It's the thing with the advent of technology. It's way easier to spread your message and to find people that are willing to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have any semblance of, you know, you seem like you've got a little bit of cachet, some literal mm-hmm. influence by virtue of that big number next to your name. But why do we let ourselves get influenced by stuff like that? I'm guilty of it. I've followed influencers have been like, I've never sliced an avocado before until I got this Amazon avocado slicer. And I'm just like, I do need that. And like, I don't. I can use a knife, you know? But I wonder, there's got to be some chemical reaction that happens in our brain that makes us want to be like, you know, seeing someone's life and being like, that's aspirational. And that avocado slicer will get me there.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a chemical in your brain as much as you see someone that has mm-hmm. the things that you want, or you see someone that you feel like has overcome adversity and you're mm-hmm. trying to overcome adversity, so they seem like a good role model. Or maybe you like that dopamine hit you get mm-hmm. when you order something new. But we're all guilty of being influenced by various things in one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. But we're thank you all for sticking with us with our little off release schedule this week. But, you know, we figured, you know, Freaky Friday on a Wednesday, and now we got this episode here. But we want to thank everybody who also came out to our shows in Kansas City and Oklahoma City. We had so much fun meeting y'all and performing the show. You guys were such generous crowds.
Super fun. Never been to Kansas City. Had some great barbecue. Mm-hmm. Lovely town. Very cute.
Yes.
Just great people. Super fun crowd. Best intro we've ever received from
yes.
a club. So
for
much
real.
So that we recorded it.
I'm so glad we hit record on our phone in the when we were waiting to go out, because the Funny Bone in Kansas City, I felt like we were wrestlers and we were about to kick the door open at like SummerSlam. So we put it on our Instagram if you want to hear it, but it was so good. I was like, we need to like clip it into the show. Well, thank you all for coming out to that show. And if you want to know what we're talking about, it's our Full Moon Energy show. It is our touring show that we do not release in the podcast feed. We only do it live. And it's all about the dark side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, and what people really think happened during the Apollo missions.
Super fun crowds both times. Oklahoma City, we learned some things about yeah. Chris Gaines, didn't we? We all learned some things about Chris Gaines. Y'all want to claim Garth Brooks, but nobody seemed to want to claim Chris Gaines.
The gasp in the crowd when Chris Gaines appeared on screen. I was thrilled. Thank you all for playing along. That's one of the funnest parts of Full Moon Energy, is that we have a custom segment there in the middle that we do a little local flavor for you. So it changes every show, and it has something to do with where you're at. So it's always fun mm-hmm. to see who are actual hometown heroes and who people fucking loathe. So we're going to find that out about San Diego on September 17th, Phoenix on September 18th, and Las Vegas on September 19th before we end the tour in Dallas on October 17th. So head over to sinisterhood.com/live shows to get your tickets and more info.
Please come out and see us. This has been such a fun show, and this next leg is going to be a super fun stretch too. So
yeah.
We are super stoked. Well, for now, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Kat Torres Soares was born in Belém, Brazil on October 24th, 1992. For the first 5 years of her life, she lived in the Pratinha neighborhood in the capital of Pará, Brazil. Kat spent most of her childhood in a favela, the word used there for a slum or shanty town, located within or on the outskirts of the country's large cities. Her father struggled with alcohol. Kat, however, was interested in modeling after competing in pageants as a child. At 7 years old, she acted in local theater productions and thrived. She began her modeling career at just 14 years old. Once in her teens, Kat began modeling swimwear and eventually lingerie all around the world, from Europe to Asia and the United States.
Well, like you said up top, somebody that can influence someone is if you have a backstory of like rags to riches success, which is what you see here. And that's extremely aspirational to say, like, I pulled myself out of the type of, I think we talked about favelas in our Flordelis de Santos de Sousa, mm-hmm. the politician in Brazil, who kind of had that similar way of influencing people by being like, I'm one of you. I came from this like background.
Very relatable. And also like, everyone loves a rags to riches story, and mm-hmm. it's very appealing for many people to be like, you get to travel the world yeah. and model and do all these things. It's, you know, very lavish, luxurious, attractive. Glamour. There's always another side, though.
There's a dark side.
That side doesn't get posted to Instagram.
Well, it's starting
at least
to
not
get
on your own feed. You gotta go searching for it somebody else's feed.
I was gonna say, you've been seeing all that with all the yachting kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm down yacht talk on and it's not what you think on no. TikTok. I went down a yachting rabbit hole. Well, in 2013, Kat created buzz after being linked to actor Leonardo DiCaprio. Articles came out calling Kat
Leo's newest blonde.
She dodged direct questions and later clarified,
we were friends. We weren't even close friends.
But the press helped. Kat parlayed her celebrity-adjacent status into an online brand. She began showing off her luxurious life in Insta-worthy photos shot in a beautifully decorated apartment in New York City.
Yeah, the Leonardo DiCaprio about face is pretty embarrassing, in my opinion. It was over about a two-week span that they were like seen together at Cannes. And then she started saying, it's incredible. Our relationship's incredible to like extra and whoever would listen. And then suddenly she's just like, oh, I, you know, it was just a misunderstanding. I'm like, I bet you probably got a message from his people like, nah, girl.
Nope. You got to cut it off. I mean, super big celebs. You're signing an NDA to right? go out on a date or hang out and stuff. So if it was as wonderful as she claims, you know.
We wouldn't have
I
heard
bet
about it.
If she had signed something, somebody was like, hey, you remember that piece of paper you signed? Knock it the fuck off. You yeah, guys right. aren't as close as you think. In 2017, Kat suffered a life-altering illness. She contracted a flesh-eating mycobacterial breast infection that left her hospitalized. Her former roommate, Luzer Twersky, an actor and writer, told the BBC he believed that wealthy men had been funding Kat's New York lifestyle. One man was allegedly an ultra-wealthy Russian man with ties to Vladimir Putin. When Kat contracted the breast disease, Luzer explained that the attention and financial support from the men dried up.
And he is very candid in his interview with the BBC. Well, you linked it in the show notes. They just did a documentary on this. And they've kind of done a lot of the initial interviews with some of these folks publicly. And Luzer straight just said they clearly wanted her for her body. And when she could not offer that to them anymore, the transaction was over. And it's really sad to see when you mm-hmm. kind of think you have this relationship with someone. Sure, I'm like, it's transactional, you know. But you also think, yeah. oh, well, they care about me too. And suddenly, if you're hospitalized, they don't want to call anymore.
Yeah. Did she think they cared about him?
I don't know.
She was just wanting the money that she was getting right. from hanging out with them, which is fine. I have no problem with that either. It is very scary to contract a flesh-eating bacteria, no, mm-hmm. especially in your breast. I mean, that's horrifying. It also is a huge slap in the face to like, the work I've chosen is very dependent on my body, mm-hmm. and if that goes away, so does my paycheck.
potentially. Yeah. She didn't quite clarify it in the interview I saw with her that it was related to breast implants, but it is a bacterial infection that is often related to breast implants. Mm. So I don't know necessarily that's what it was, but that is often the cause of it. So mm-hmm. she kept saying I had to have my breasts removed. So I wasn't sure if she had breast implants removed or if she had a mastectomy, but either way, it sounds horrifically painful. Yeah. And I would not wish that on anybody.
No, not only just the physical, but the yeah. emotional pain mm-hmm. that comes along with that for women is something that isn't talked about a lot with those kinds of surgeries. But yeah, I mean, it's life-changing in more ways than one.
For sure. And like you said, especially given that she's in an industry that is so look forward, I'm sure mm-hmm. that's both emotionally and personally a blow and also professionally.
Mm-hmm. Kat's rise to internet stardom was also helped by another Instagram account she started called Kat Stuff in Portuguese that depicted meme-like photos of the model with an exasperated expression on her face and funny text along the image's top and bottom. The account went viral and hit 1 million followers. Soon, Kat began offering advice to her followers in the form of health and wellness tips. She then offered coaching sessions, charging rates per session that cost up to $700 Brazilian real, or $122. Her Instagram follower count also soared, soon surpassing 1 million.
And she's, you know, the trajectory of her career so far is actually pretty smart. She's kind of like Brittany Broski, who was the one that tried that kombucha and made that face that kind of turned mm-hmm. into a reaction gif. And now I just saw her, she was interviewing Ilona Amar from the women's rugby team, mm-hmm. like as part of her podcast. And so she kind of took like an instant of memeable reaction gif fame and turned it into a pretty successful podcasting and now looks like broadcasting career. So so far you kind of see Kat, well, I can't maybe be a model anymore, but maybe I'll be funny.
And the health and wellness industry is a very easy mm-hmm. industry to get into, to start just charging people stuff when you don't have to have a lot of credentials mm-hmm. to do it. Should yeah. you? Yes. But legally, there's a lot of loopholes, so it's a very easy industry to take advantage of people.
You're right, and especially if you already look like a model, being like, oh, well, all you have to do is be like me, and I do 50 sit-ups a night, and I'll coach you. And it's like, well, you're also like a model, so I'm sure you do other stuff. It's like whenever you see some Instagram influencers with really nice bodies pushing, like, a detox tea, and you're like, well, mm-hmm. you don't have a flat stomach because of a detox tea. Like, you have a flat stomach because you have a personal trainer and a chef and yada, yada.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you see a model saying, like, be like me with just this thing. All you need is my coaching.
Also, plastic surgery,
yeah,
an unhealthy lifestyle, potentially mm-hmm. genetics. I mean, mm-hmm. some people are just naturally one shape and some people are naturally another. So even if you see someone on Instagram and you're like, man, if I use all these products, I could look like that. Maybe, but mm-mm. also every body is different. So you could follow the exact regimen that a model does and mm-hmm. like you just don't have the same body. So it's not you're not going to look the same. And then people get real disappointed or mad or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like we all want a quick fix or mm-hmm. to change something about ourselves because the media or society mm-hmm. has told us we should. But that's why, again, the health and wellness is such an easy target because there is never a shortage of people that are looking to change themselves and will pay and do whatever you ask of them if they think it's going to help. And that's, it's super sad.
No, you're 100% right. And especially if the solution that you're selling is an ongoing subscription service to talk to you, that is a really great way to establish recurring revenue. Doing videos going, your life sucks because you won't get up off your ass like I did and work for yourself, which is what she was saying in these videos. Meanwhile, her life was being funded by sugar daddies, according to her roommate. So it is another slap in the face and sort of fraudulent, right? This is where we start mm-hmm. getting into, are you really, it's one thing to make memes and you're funny, but then it's another thing to go, hey, look at my house. Isn't it so nice? Mm-hmm. I decorated my living room this way. It's quite a third to go, well, you could be rich like me. You just have to listen to me and pay me $700 a month or whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, that's not how you got rich.
No,
like,
no.
What you're telling people.
Twin flames-ish for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or Bentino Massaro or Teal Swan. Yeah. It gives me Teal Swan vibes a lot too.
Yeah. Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of these clients was a young woman named Anna, who was studying in Boston, Massachusetts, when she discovered Kat Torres' Instagram page in 2017. Anna found herself inspired by Kat's story of overcoming a difficult past. Kat would often emphasize moving past her troubling childhood with a father who had an addiction to alcohol and her meager upbringings in the favela. Kat got her inspiration as a coach from famous speakers like Tony Robbins. Her ex-husband, Colburn Bell, told BBC that he and Kat attended different church services around Brazil to scout out what practices were popular and effective. Kat also looked to emulate the practices of a controversial Brazilian religious figure named John of God, who was later convicted of hundreds of sex crimes.
And there's some footage of John of God in the BBC documentary, and I went on and looked him up as well. It's something like 600 accusers. Like he Yikes. Was, I think he was a, not evangelical, but you know, like a very...
charismatic.
That's the word. He was a very charismatic guy and so would travel around and I think maybe had access to people. But that idea of creating a cult of personality around yourself so you could take advantage of a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be a red flag to me if I heard that the person that was about to start a health and wellness thing was just like dipping her toe in various religions to see like what stuck, according to her ex, you know, like what worked on people, not what resonated with me and what I, you know, felt drawn to and really moved by. It's like, what are people going to buy into that I can make the most money off of?
Exactly. What makes them open their wallets? Because that's what we believe all of a sudden. Yeah, it was interesting that, I mean, I guess because he's considered not the perpetrator, but that he openly was like, yeah, we were just trying to find a blueprint.
Yeah. I mean, he would know if, you know, he was right there. Kat's research seemed to pay off. She began amassing a long list of clients, claiming on her website to have helped over 1,000 people from around the world. One client, Desiree Freitas, a Brazilian woman living in Germany, told the BBC of working with Kat via coaching.
It was like therapy for me.
Well, there's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it was like therapy, and then that narrative starts getting pushed, and then it's like, it's therapy, it's counseling. This woman has no credentials, no degrees to be actually, like, licensed to counsel people.
No, exactly. And this starts to give shades of Linda Good McGillis from Profundity Years of being like, well, I can counsel you, and I don't have to be licensed. It's fine. But that it's that arrogant attitude of, I know, but I have a million followers. People follow me, therefore I must know something. And it's like, not necessarily.
Kat released her book titled A Voz, or A Voice, in 2017. In it, she extolled the virtues of taking ayahuasca monthly for spiritual enlightenment. She explained in an interview with Amori Jr., a talk show host in Brazil.
I was in a trance, all in a trance writing it.
The book details how Kat is able to communicate with spirits, hearing voices from beyond. She also discussed participating in a Santo Daime ceremony in which psychoactive tea is ingested along with dancing, chanting, and breathing.
You can watch the interview with her on Amori Jr. On YouTube. It's in Portuguese, but there's auto-generated subtitles to the extent they're accurate. But it's hard to know if they're accurate because she is speaking really odd words and the host seems a little bit lost sometimes and is like, so you're saying a voice came into you and wrote this? And she's like, yes, yes, I was in a trance and I just listened to the voice in my head and I just started typing. And you kind of can start to compare what she is discussing in her book and that she had this breakthrough with the post experience of ayahuasca psychosis. And it's a lot is very similar. And you're really not, in my brief research, you're not supposed to take ayahuasca monthly.
I've never done it. I've had interest, but what I know happens to your body when you do it, as far as you just expel everything, that's the part that has prevented me from going any further with it. But I've known people that have had like amazing experiences from it. I've never known someone that does it that frequently. That to me would be not only exhausting, but at some point, like, might scramble your brain a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does at least impact your chemicals and neurotransmitters somewhat, but she's, she seemed to think it created this bridge for her to widen the connection that she already had with this voice that she had been hearing since childhood.
Kat explained that the ayahuasca community, in which she also participated, was a very serious group and acknowledged the dangers of the substance, saying,
"It can lead people to death."
Kat clarified that although she heard voices from the beyond, which provided her guidance, she was not a psychic. The experience with ayahuasca marked a change in Kat's life. Her ex-roommate, Loser Twersky, told the BBC,
"That's when she kind of started going off the deep end."
But her online followers either didn't notice or didn't seem to care. They still paid her monthly subscription rates for coaching sessions and joined her live streams, showering her with compliments in the comments. By 2019, Kat's follower Anna was fully bought into what Kat was offering. Anna found herself enamored with Kat's tragic upbringing, telling the BBC,
"She seemed like she had overcome violence in her childhood, abuse, all these traumatic experiences."
Working with Kat gave Anna hope. So much hope that Anna was ready to move to New York to work with Kat.
And that's the thing is, in these sessions she would have with people that already felt like therapy, she then started adding in this supernatural element of, oh, well, the entities are telling me that this is actually what's best for you. And in some of her Facebook posts, she would call her clients aliens. And she was like, I'm trying to help them navigate. They're my little aliens. And so to have a person that you've already thought, oh, okay, well, she's going to help me set my life straight. And then she's also telling you that she can essentially visit you. She said that in this Amore Jr. interview, like, I have met with Jesus Christ. I've met with people who have passed away. And I've also gone and visited my social media followers, like, I guess, remotely. So she's professing this power. And if people believe her and she's, you know, she's...
Yeah. You've combined, I can help you with all your problems with, I'm also magic. So
yeah.
You've upped the stakes quite a bit. I'm no therapist. I'm certainly not a licensed therapist. If a child was to overcome a lot of violence and abuse in their childhood, and that also happens to be the time when a voice starts talking to them in their head, I think there might be a correlation there. And, you know, and that trauma and everything carries over into adulthood and just spirals.
Yeah, you're right. Certainly something worth exploring. And her use of ayahuasca instead of seeking out like help with that seemed to exacerbate it. And Loser was not the only one. Other people were quoted in articles saying she became unreasonable. Like, you couldn't talk to her, couldn't reason with her, and really expressed to Anna, like, you have to come and work with me and help me run this business. I need you.
In 2019, Kat asked Anna to move to New York City to live with and work for her. The agreement was that Anna would take care of Kat's animals, do her laundry, cleaning, and cook for her. For her services, Anna was told she would be paid $2,000 a month. Anna told the BBC that when she arrived at the influencer's New York City apartment, she was shocked at its conditions. Online, Kat curated an impeccable lifestyle to her followers. Seeing it in real life, Anna said that illusion was quickly shattered, telling the BBC,
"It was shocking because the house was really messy, really dirty, and didn't smell good. It was like literal Instagram versus reality."
Yeah. It's in what's so fascinating to me is that, and it also, I think, speaks to her mental health being in an unwell state, is that she's inviting someone to come live knowing that that illusion is going to be quickly shattered, because she can look around and see how she's living unless she's, you know, not in a good mental state. And then maybe it doesn't even occur to her. But either way, like, whether you're like, I don't care that she sees this because I'm about to have total control, or I don't even realize that this is, you know, not how I show myself online because I'm having an episode or something. Either way, it's not great.
No, you're right.
It's terrible, in fact.
No, it's horrible. You're right. And you wonder if she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to ask her to come because she's going to help me clean this. Or if you're the dog at the kitchen table and everything's on fire going, it's fine. This is fine. Everything is fine. But yeah, either way, that's got to be like a huge shock for someone who thinks like, oh, I'm going to go work for, like, I'm going to get my dream job and go work for this person who's changed my life and is so perfect in my head. And you're like, not even is she just like a little bit imperfect. She is like a nightmare.
It's a total facade. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a clean corner in the corner of your NYC apartment with a cool view behind you. And literally, if you were to take the camera and turn it around, everything is trashed.
Yeah, it's like a shit show. Yeah, for sure.
So just keep that in mind when you see people online, that you right? can have it all together, and just remember they're still a human. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't, you know? I mean, it maybe not to the extent of this, but like everybody curates an image that they mm-hmm. want to of themselves online. I follow this creator on TikTok that will talk about like why certain brands fail. And it's made me realize, because he's talked about certain influencers in this way. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, I just want to be clear. Like, for example, JoJo Siwa is not a person. She is mm-hmm. a brand. She mm-hmm. is a character. Whatever her, not Joelle, but it's something, like, you know, like her real name mm-hmm. is something else. And that's her. But like, these are character, like Ballerina Farm, like, it's a brand. Mm-hmm. It's not a person. So you're also looking at these people thinking, I want to be like that. And it's like, that they're not even like that.
That's
this
like
is saying, just a brand yeah. that their team has curated, that they're, or that they've curated themselves, that they're pushing. So not only is it not attainable, it's completely false.
Yeah, it's unreasonable. It's like watching Sex and the City and being like, well, I can be yeah. just exactly like Carrie. And you're like, well, it's a fantasy that's been sold to you, which is fine if you enjoy it. I love looking into people's houses. I'm nosy as hell. But you're right. Like, for every fancy looking, like perfect, immaculate mansion that influencers look, show online, I'm like, y'all still got pubes in your bathtub? We all do. You know what I mean? Like, people, they show it to you like some your life could be perfect. It's like, no one's life is ever perfect. That's the nature of a house. We live in it and whatever. So selling that lifestyle, like we said earlier, of, okay, well, if you buy this, then you could be look like me. It's just a, this is proof positive that many times it's bullshit. And sometimes like this, it's egregiously bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Forced to sleep on a sofa soaked in cat pee, Anna soon discovered Kat's inability to do anything by herself. Even when showering, Kat demanded Anna be present so she had someone to talk to, seemingly incapable of being alone. In desperate need of a break, Anna confessed to the BBC that she would sometimes sneak away to the gym located in Kat's apartment building. Rather than work out, Anna would conceal herself and take secret naps, as Kat refused to let her sleep for more than a couple of hours a day.
This just breaks my heart to think that you have to sneak to the gym to just shut mm-hmm. your eyes for 15 minutes.
Because not only are you not allowed to sleep, but when you are given an hour, you're sleeping on a couch soaked in cat piss, and we all know what that smells
like. The worst smell. It's one fucking of the worst smells.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. And it top five worst smells. And it like, you know, it gets on your clothes like contact. So
it's awful.
It's abusive. Yeah, that's abusive.
If you're going to invite someone to come live and you're mm-hmm. like, I'm paying you $2,000 a month. These are the things I need you to do. I would also expect that they had reasonable accommodations for you to live.
Right. And saying, a and bed. You can. Yes, exactly. Saying, and part of this is you will come live with me. The implication is, and have a place to sleep mm-hmm. and not, oh yeah, that old dirty couch. Yeah, have that.
Yeah, no. And if you're looking at her house online, you wouldn't assume, oh, well, I'm going to be sleeping on a sofa covered in cat piss mm-mm. and hair when I no. get there.
No, you're probably like, there's a beautiful guest room that smells like yeah. lilacs.
Despite all of the work Anna did for Kat, she was never paid. As Kat's demands and abuse escalated, Anna searched for a way to leave, later telling the BBC,
I felt like I'm stuck here. I don't have a way out. I was probably one of her first victims of human trafficking.
When Anna tried confronting Kat, she was met with the influencer's rage. A survivor of domestic violence, Anna would become triggered by Kat's reaction, a vulnerability Kat used to her advantage. After 3 months of daily abuse, Anna was finally able to escape her living arrangement when she moved in with a man she had been dating. Unfortunately, that would not be the end of Anna's ordeal with Kat.
Yeah, the whole idea that like you give someone private personal information in these coaching sessions, it makes you so vulnerable. And when the person to whom you're confessing these things is not bound by ethical standards, What Mm-mm. then happens is, unfortunately, something like this or Teal Swan or whatever, where Twin they flames. Immediately know the psh, that button to push.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeff on yeah. Twin Flames, like he mm-hmm. would call people out and use their very personal information as a way to shame them or, you know, prove a point, just publicly humiliate them. And she's doing the same. She knows Anna has a history of intimate partner violence. She's yeah. disclosed all of that to her. So then, knowing that, knowing how she would react to someone screaming at her, she turns around and does that when it benefits her.
Not to mention, you have a person that's maybe not entirely mentally doing well as far as just still, you know, doing a bunch of ayahuasca and having mm-hmm. a loose grip on reality, especially if you're trying to reason with them and they are being unreasonable and then purposefully manipulative. That's where it doesn't say, like, it, to me, it doesn't say, oh, well, you know, maybe Kat was just not doing so well and she wasn't a very good boss to Anna. It was, no, that's true. But also, I think she was manipulating her purposefully with information mm-hmm. she got.
Yeah. Kat posted a violent message directed at Anna on Instagram in April of 2022. She called Anna
traitor
and warned,
your skull will be placed in a special place in my home.
Anna became terrified. She told the BBC she suffered panic attacks, living in fear of what Kat's dedicated followers may do to her. She filed a police report on May 31st, 2022 about the post. She followed that up with a report to the FBI about what Kat had done to her while she worked as Kat's assistant. Anna later told the BBC that law enforcement didn't seem to take her seriously at the time.
And this is a hard thing when you have what kind of looks like, if you didn't look at the reality of the situation, it kind of looks like it could be drama. Like an Instagram yeah. influencer invited her follower. The follower didn't like what was going on and threw a fit and quit. And then publicly the influencer lashed back out. What the reality was is you have a what will become serial human trafficker taking their position of authority and abusing it. And so for me, I just wish and I hope that we're moving towards it, that law enforcement would say take kind of a broken windows approach of this person is not going to go to the lengths of filing a FBI report with this evidence if there's maybe not something we should follow up on. And I think there was some follow up here. It's just not an urgent follow up.
Mm-hmm. By this time, Kat had divorced her first husband and moved from New York to Austin, Texas. There, she married a 21-year-old man named Zach Meekin, who she had met on a trip to California. The couple rented a 5-bedroom mansion in Austin's northern suburbs. Their neighbor across the street, Wayne Murray, spoke to the BBC about odd things he noticed about his new neighbors. First of all, the pair was not very friendly and didn't return waves or hellos. Wayne also noted that Zach, who he described as
a good-looking guy, very buff,
often walked around shirtless outside. Wayne and the other neighbors weren't thrilled when they looked up Kat online and found her referred to as a cult leader who could heal followers with magic.
Yeah, she started to get this reputation because her self-help videos ventured from, there still were a lot of like, work really hard and you can be like me. Mm-hmm. And then started saying, and by the way, I use this magic altar and I do, which is fine. You know, you're sharing your religious practice and everything. But I think people, not everybody takes to the occult, you know, they see an influencer using the occult and they want to call her a witch or whatever, when in fact she's allowed to practice her religion. But
well, and there's nothing wrong with being called a witch. She might, yeah. I think she called herself one too.
Yeah.
But in the northern suburbs of Austin, being a witch is almost as offensive as not saying hello or waving back when you're going to your car.
Like, Wayne Murray.
They never say hello when I wave when I'm going to work in the morning.
Wayne Murray does not like this couple, especially Kat. He really, really doesn't like her because he goes, that house over there, that's the human trafficker's house right there.
Well, just put, you know what?
Call it like it is. Fuck
you. You got to say, call it, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck. I don't think that's the saying because ducks don't talk. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Yeah. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it might be a Scrooge McDuck. We don't know.
Could be Donald Duck.
We don't know.
Daffy Duck?
Maybe.
What was that? What
Harold
was that real?
Howard the Duck?
Was that the horny one? Howard. Howard was a real horny duck.
Was he?
Smoked a cigar?
He's a big old when duck. Big old
Howard
duck.
The Duck?
Trying to
Do you remember Howard the Duck?
I remember seeing a VHS tape at a person's house who babysat me called Howard the Duck and thinking, I want to watch that. And then I didn't get to watch it.
He's a dirty duck.
Oh, he's a little dirty duck. He's low down.
He smokes a cigar. He's real horny. He cusses. He's like the bad boy duck.
Good. We got to have
not,
one.
He's not.
We have the capitalist duck. If I remember correctly. We've got Darkwing Duck, the hero. We've got capitalist Scrooge McDuck. We've got to have a bad boy duck. We need Howard.
Oh, Howard fucks. Okay, wait. Hold on. In this film, based on the comic book character, Howard the Duck is suddenly beamed from Duck World, a planet of intelligent ducks with arms and legs, to Earth, where he lands in Cleveland.
Hey!
There he saves rocker Beverly, Leah Thompson, from...
Fuck yeah, Leah Thompson.
From thugs. We shouldn't be saying that. And forms a friendship with her.
Okay.
She introduces him to Phil... Tim Robbins.
No way.
Who works at a lab with scientist Dr. Jennings, played by Jeffrey Jones. Oh. When the doctor attempts to return Howard to his world, Jennings instead transfers an evil spirit into his own body. I think this is not the... Is this the original Howard the Duck? I guess so. He was from outer space. That's news to me.
Well, it's
A sarcastic humanoid duck is pulled from his home world to Earth, where he must stop an alien invasion with the help of a nerdy scientist and a struggling.
Sounds cut awesome. Off. I want to
watch say
it.
What it said in a struggling female .. And for all I know, that's all it has because they also used the word thugs. So, you know, it was the 80s movie made in 1985 or something.
Good
so
Lord. I want to watch
86.
That. Hey, that's when I was born. Me and Howard the Duck are the same age.
Well, yes, you are. So you probably have more in common than you think, too. God damn, I forgot how creepy his eyes are. Oh, man. I forgot about it. There's a lot of sequels. So you can go down that own rabbit. Everyone can go down that rabbit hole or the duck hole.
Don't go down the duck hole. Yeah, he fucks. I just looked him up. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like that's part of the movie. Yeah. Is he's like in a... he's like, robe, rah, 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 rah. Smoking a cigar. Yeah, with the he's a ladies' man. He's like, a ladies' duck.
Quack, quack, quack. Sinisterhood will be right back.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
One of Kat's followers, Desiree Freitas, was a 23-year-old Brazilian woman living in Germany when she came across Kat's videos. They made her feel deeply understood. According to her book, Searching Desiree, the young woman began talking with Kat directly in a therapeutic way. In one of their conversations, Kat claimed that her health was on a downswing, leading her to experience suicidal thoughts. She begged Desiree to come stay with her. After a two-hour-long phone call, during which Kat purchased Desiree's plane ticket, Desiree was headed to Texas. Just 2 days after the phone call, Desiree arrived at her new home. She wrote in her book that she had trouble
processing what was happening.
Kat promised Desiree that she'd be helping out with Kat and Zach's wellness business in exchange for a salary. That salary was never paid.
Yeah, the description that Desiree wrote was that it was this, like, very emotionally charged call that was like, you can't even think about it. Like, I need to buy the ticket now. I need to know if you're going to come here or else I am going to hurt myself. Like, are you coming or not? Mm. And really that high, it's like a high pressure sales tactic of like, within this 2-hour call, I'm going to have a plane ticket that's going to have you leave your whole entire life behind.
I was going to say, it's like a scam call.
Yeah.
When the tactic is to pressure someone, like, you got to go to the bank right now, or they have a warrant out and they're going to show mm-hmm. up when you're picking your kids up from school. And it is just very like, you don't have time to think. And she even says, I didn't have time to process what was happening. And that is a pretty good abuse tactic, because you get people moving in a way that like, they can't even stop to think, do I want to be doing this? Is this right? They're just, you know, doing. Then you get her there and it's like, all right, well, now she's under my thumb and I have her here.
Right. You're right. It's like they activate that fight or flight mechanism to get them away from their rational brain and into mm-hmm. that impulse brain. And especially if it's not even like you have to open your wallet and get a plane ticket. It's like, I'm going to buy this ticket right now. That even makes it seem more almost like desirable, right? Like, I'm going to pay for you to come here and I'm going to mm-hmm. pay you to work for me. Just this inducement to getting these victims, literally luring them to her so she could abuse them further.
Kat often said in videos and coaching sessions that the entities who spoke to Kat in her mind were guiding her. She warned her followers that those who didn't listen to the entities could become depressed and suffer. Channeling her entities, Kat would conduct healing sessions using crystals and witchcraft. In one session, Kat told Desiree that the entities were guiding Desiree to a strip club, as that is where she would find her husband. Kat insisted that Desiree get a job dancing there.
And there are these descriptions of what Kat would call an alien bath. And she's now deleted the videos from her Facebook, but journalists saw them and, you know, transcribed them and wrote descriptions of them. And in them, she would have them drink this liquid that some later said they believed was ayahuasca or small amounts mm-hmm. of it. And then she would say, like, the entities are talking to me. And it get somebody in a vulnerable mindset and then plant this idea in their head, right? Like, I want you to shut your eyes and visualize yourself dancing on stage. They're throwing money at you. And then it's a lot easier to convince them when they wake up, like, what to do.
Mm-hmm. Desiree began dancing at Max Smith's strip club multiple times per week. An employee told the BBC.
She was very popular.
Soon, Desiree was bringing home thousands of dollars per week, money that she was required to turn over to Kat. Kat kept the cash in a safe, away from Desiree. The money, it seemed, wasn't enough. According to Desiree's book, Kat explained how models and actresses in Europe would engage in sex work all the time to make extra money. For Desiree to refuse, she would be wasting
$1 million opportunity.
Desiree was reluctant to engage in sex for money, so Kat guilted her by adding up all the expenses she had spent on the woman. Kat even brought up money she'd spent on witchcraft supplies and spirituality sessions. If Desiree decided to leave and not engage in sex work, Kat would charge her for everything. And if Desiree refused to pay, Kat warned her that she and her entities would curse Desiree.
And that was something that she pushed in her videos was kind of this idea that your life is going to be so much worse after me, and saying things like, remember who you were before this and after your consultations and how I made you who you were. And that's just through video. And she's here in this girl's face, basically threatening her and saying, you're on a visa and you're dancing at a strip club. What you're doing is actually illegal and I'll call it in.
Yeah. And 24/7, you're not getting a break. Like, if mm-mm. you're just on Zooms and you can like turn it off, you're having her in your face morning, noon, and night. And Desiree said that she was a spiritual person and she believed in curses and witchcraft and stuff. Mm-hmm. So to have someone use that against you, which Kat probably already knows from her mm-hmm. coaching sessions that, you know, this is something that she can use against Desiree. But it's another way, similar to twin flames, like that spiritual abuse of, it's not just about like wellness anymore now. Like, this is your life.
Yeah. It's your eternal soul.
Yeah. You're going to suffer for eternity if you don't do what I say.
Yeah. I'll curse you.
Desiree continued dancing, but expressed exhaustion at the long hours. Kat manipulated her further, guilting her for the fact that Kat had used witchcraft to get Desiree hired. Eventually, Desiree began having sex with men for money. Kat gave her daily quotas, requiring her to bring home $1,000 per day, or else sleep on the streets. Desiree wrote in her book that she slept outside multiple nights, unable to meet Kat's demands. Records later showed that in 1 week, Desiree transferred over $21,000 to Kat. Meanwhile, in live videos online, Kat touted her money-making prowess and the effectiveness of her coaching, saying in one video,
"I want you all to be millionaires, period." And that's the egregiousness, is this, it's just, she's a fraud, you know, saying like, "I'm such a great businesswoman and and these women work so hard." It's like, this woman works hard. Desiree works hard dancing. It's
doing
exhausting.
Something she doesn't even want to be doing.
Yes. And then moving on to sex. Yeah.
Giving up all of the money she's making to you, you know, I mean, she's not seeing even anything from all of her work.
Not even the, you know, $3,000 or however much per month she was promised to come, quote, work on the wellness business. That's one thing. If you think you're going to be shipping t-shirts and like, you know, answering DMs on social media, you don't think that you're going to like quite literally be trafficked, sexually trafficked by this person that you literally trust your whole spiritual life to.
One of these viewers was a 21-year-old Brazilian woman named Leticia Maia, who was just 14 years old when she found Kat's videos. Leticia was a driven young woman who had always dreamed of living in the United States. By 2022, she was working in the States as a nanny and continued to follow Kat's coaching. In Texas, Leticia engaged in an in-person bath session with Kat. During the session, Kat had Leticia visualize flirting with men in the club and making money. Leticia told the BBC, Kat asked her to visualize bringing home
full luggage of money for Kat.
A third woman, named Sol, was experiencing homelessness when Kat offered on an Instagram live video for anyone to come live with her. Sol accepted and moved in. Kat promoted the three women online as her coven, or witch clan, and claimed they each had special powers. One photo caption claimed Leticia had the power to kill any human with her mind. Desiree had mental intelligence and wit. Sol had power, clairvoyance, and magic. Kat claimed in the same post to have the power of hypnosis and mental manipulation.
That's an interesting, well, first of all, wild to say, if you want to come live with me, come on down.
Oh my, opening up the door to just anybody.
Yeah.
That's very wild. I mean, and that should be a red flag to anybody else. It's like, who would ever open the door to just anybody? That's not safe for yourself. So then- If she's not screening people, it's like that other cult we saw where it's like, at some point you got to start screening people, or you have like everyone living in one house that should not be, for a lot of reasons.
Right, exactly. And that's, I think Sol, again, had that experience of Anna of the Instagram versus reality, especially once Leticia, who was, you know, 21-year-old, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and her family said that like, she was very affectionate and super close to her family and would text them all the time. But then after, you know, meeting with Kat and having this, again, this session where you're doing this, quote, alien bath and you're drinking ayahuasca and she's whispering in your ear that, like, visualize you're bringing home suitcases full of money, that she really continued to post on social media but really stopped interacting with her family. So one by one, Kat is trying to get them there, isolate them from their family, and get them working in like a revenue stream. So she got Desiree there. She's working, so she's done with her. Now she needs another one. And so then she starts working on Leticia to put her on websites and stuff. And then I think Sol comes in and is like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And especially when your so-called leader claims herself that she has the power of hypnosis and mental manipulation.
All the while, her husband is just kind of chilling at the house, seeing it all unfold. And I mean, he's also 21. So, you know, he's living in a house with a bunch of good looking women. And as far as I know, never spoke up to the cops like, hey, by the way, my wife is running a whole human trafficking ring at this house.
Yeah, no, it sounds like he mowed the lawn without a shirt off and, you know, cashed the rent checks, I guess. But we'll continue to talk about him more later.
Desiree continued dancing and working as an escort while Kat set up profiles on sugar baby websites for Desiree to get more work. The daily cash quota for Desiree was also raised from $1,000 to $3,000 per day. Since sex work is illegal in Texas, if Desiree ever complained, Kat would threaten to turn her over to the authorities, which is another huge abuse tactic that human traffickers use, is they take all your papers, which she did too. She had all their information, all their money and everything in a safe, and then also threatened to turn them in for the very thing she was forcing them to do if they said anything.
And unfortunately, it is an extremely, extremely effective abuse tactic for any victim, but especially if the victim is of a vulnerable immigration status like Desiree was, where she started out on a visa for being a student, you know, something totally different, and then has been through literal force, forced to break the law, and you're now, your very abuser holds that over you.
The women's appearances also changed, with their once dark hair dyed blonde to look like Kat. Leticia also began engaging in sex work, with Kat creating profiles for her on sugar baby websites as well. When they weren't working, Kat demanded that the women stay silent and stay in their rooms unless given explicit permission from Kat.
And like you said, it's another abuse, human trafficking tactic to try to divide and conquer and avoid any like, well, what have you heard? What do you know? Like pulling resources or anything like that. So it's not like, oh, well, we're all just a happy coven living together.
No, the last thing Kat wants is for them to get together and start talking about stuff without her around, because then they join forces and, you know, decide that there's power in numbers. We can defeat this. So she keeps them all locked away in the rooms. The only time you can leave is to go work in sex work that you don't want to be doing. Then you come home from that, hand over all the money you've made, and get locked in your room again. I mean, she wouldn't even let them go to the bathroom because they had to leave their rooms to go to the bathroom. And if they passed each other in the hall and stuff, she wanted to have like complete control over conversations and interactions.
It was pretty much like, if you leave your room for any reason, to go to the bathroom or anything, you cannot say a peep or make any eye contact or anything with one another. And like you said, it's like it is literally a prison. Yeah. And it is forced labor. That's what they call it. And to see her depicting it online as this happy, friendly coven living together, and even getting them, Leticia and Desiree, to post, you know, pro-cat stuff, I think that is indicative of the real, not only just like the mental power she had over that them, but the coercive power she had by, you know, their immigration status and, you know, the fiscal, like, if you don't pay me back, I'll curse you.
It reminds me a lot of Twin Flames. Also, Larry Ray, just kind of like using these vulnerabilities against, you know, young, impressionable people and
berating,
looked
that,
up
like,
to them a lot. Yeah, like those, all those kids looked up to him. All these girls looked up to her. And using that to your advantage to basically get away with whatever you want. And yeah, you're having to stomach, like, still watching her lives and her posts. And you're like, none of that's how it goes. But are you so brainwashed and you're being fed maybe drugs and information that she's telling you like, well, I'm doing this for your own good. This is how it's, this is what the entity said to do. So we got to just trust the process.
Yeah. And like, do another alien bath or do another ritual with me. And like you said, you don't know what she's giving them during all that. Sinisterhood will be right back.
When the third woman, Sol, heard Kat on the phone discussing how Sol was going to be forced to do sex work in Brazil as a
punishment,
Sol reached out to an ex-boyfriend to help her escape. Terrified to leave, Sol told the BBC that she feared Kat, who knew the address of where Sol escaped to and maintained copies of her passport and driver's license. Meanwhile, things began to further escalate inside the Austin area home. And we will talk more about those escalations on part two, as well as various trials, charges and trials.
Oh, yes. And well, so what do we think for part one, I guess?
Well, I think like with so many of these influencers that, like I said, the health and wellness industry is a very easy one to get into if you're trying to sell snake oil. I mean, since literally people sell snake oil. Mm-hmm. This has been a thing that people have tried to con people about. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get them where you want them, and then it escalates. And before you know it, things are entirely out of hand. You've lost all your autonomy. You don't have money. You don't have your papers. So, like, what do you do? She's designed it to be like this. That's what a trafficker does. They don't want you to be mm-hmm. able to leave. And she's set it up perfectly so they can't.
And in fact, I think you're right. Inducing them to break rules. Like Leticia initially came to the States on a visa to work as part of this nanny program. And Kat sort of told her, hey, take that job. And then once you get here, you can just leave. It's fine. And so you have a person, like you said, who has no credentials, positioning themselves as a person of authority, taking a vulnerable young person who for 7 years had been ingesting her content online.
14.
Yeah, so damn. Young to be mm-hmm. influenced by somebody like that. So I think we're also going to hopefully see an eye toward younger people becoming more skeptical, because this did happen. You know, if she started listening, you know, Kat really rose to prominence in 2017 with her autobiography. That's kind of how Anna started listening to her and stuff like that. So I think as we see people rise to fame for some strange claims like this, they may have their smaller sect of followers, but hopefully mm-hmm. we won't see the widespread adoption we saw previously, because I do think younger generations are becoming more skeptical. They want mm-hmm. receipts. They want, like, you know, you can't just say, like, well, I have 1,000 clients and I'm an actress and a comedian and a whatever. It's like, okay, well, where's, like, your reel? Like, show. I think TikTok has made it very much like show me, don't tell me. So whereas Instagram, a lot of times before, you had these very curated images and these stories that, like, Kat wrote the story about herself on her website, like, I'm an actress, I'm a comedian, I'm so whatever. And, you know, supported.
I had an abusive childhood, yes, that I
which
overcame.
Is true. Yeah
truly. That part is true.
But, like, I think you're right, that curated Instagram where, like, you have one good looking corner versus now in our world of TikTok, we want you to turn around and do a 360 view of your whole house so we know you're not mm-hmm. lying to us. So as bad as it is that she got these folks, and we'll tell you in part two how badly it escalated, but I'm hoping that we will see fewer Kat Torres, or even as we see them, that they will have less power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think things are trending towards people expecting more receipts and accountability. And if you don't have those things, then, like you said, you may have a couple followers. But the thing about all of this is sometimes that's all you need to mm-hmm. make a ton of money and do a ton of damage to people. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't – twin flames, like, you know – it came and went, but, like, at the crux of it, they had, you know, maybe a couple hundred, like, diehard people mm-hmm. that were paying all the time. That still sustained their lifestyle, because you just kind of build up, like, these diehard followers that, well, you build up, you brainwash, so they yeah. can't really, you know, see the forest for the trees. But hopefully, as that diminishes, then eventually just won't be a lucrative business for people like this.
No, you're right. And I think you're really astute in observing the similarities to Larry Ray, because he wasn't like an online influencer with a bunch of followers, and he did plenty of damage with just, mm-hmm. you know, a half a dozen or so victims. So she's just got a little bit of a wider net. But mm-hmm. we'll talk more about just how bad it got with her and what punishment she may be facing in part two.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of segments like Dear Sinister, True Crime Headlines, Judge Christie, Heather's Saves. Oh, man, so many Reddit bits. That
we do.
They're so much fun.
And we've taken Reddit bits and made them listener bits. Like this week, the most recent, we have True Crime Headlines from last week. And then this week, our most recent bonus content is Unpopular Opinions sent in by you. So mm-hmm. give us all your nacho hot takes. And if you listen, I need you to know I did go get nachos afterwards from El Phoenix. So mm-hmm. that itch was scratched. But not only will you get that bonus content, you'll get ad-free episodes, our monthly live stream Q&As, and quarterly live bonus content, which we just did. So you just missed it. But guess what? You can watch it anytime you want, as many times as you want, on demand on Crowdcast through Patreon. We also have monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole entire internet. We love you. Thank you.
Yes, we got to meet a lot of you.
So many.
This past week. So thank you so much. And if you're interested in all of this, but you're not quite ready to commit, we do free trials. You can join for a week at any level. You can check out all the perks and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. Or if you love it, stick around, sign up. You sign up for an annual subscription, you get a month free, and then you can like stack all your, you know, deals and whatnot. I love to do that. So
deals on deals on deals.
Get the sign up for the best level.
Yeah, right.
Get all, take advantage of all of it.
I love a sample. Get you a sample.
Yeah. And for recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show. And make sure you stick around after our sign offs to hear your shout out.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out all of our Sinisterhood merch, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Be sure to shop our merch clearance sale while supplies last. And be sure to use your Patreon merch discount so you're getting the best deal.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those tickets for the Full Moon Energy Show.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video versions of our mostly Wednesday episodes at YouTube, as well as some clips from Freaky Friday. You can watch clips from the show on TikTok, and you can order custom video shout outs from us to you at cameo.com/sinisterhood. We can say happy first day of school. Congratulations on starting a new master's degree program. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary. We love delivering news and even pep talks. Some people order them for themselves for a little pick me up or some advice. So whatever you want us to say, let us know what you want us to say, and we'll say it at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the computer?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Christine Wood,
Megan Gavin,
Liz Holwell,
Megan,
Christy B,
Amber,
Rachel Todd,
Nikki O'Hare,
M. Cluda,
and Maddie K. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We sincerely appreciate all the love and support. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.